Coming this morning to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. This is one of those passages of Scripture that in some ways every preacher dreads because of that old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. This is a passage of Scripture that you have read many times, you've heard sermons on over and over before. But we will be coming here this morning, trusting that the Lord has given us a word in season for today. And we'll read Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse number 1, reading through to the end of verse number 14. Let's all hear the word of the Lord together. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God hath told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. We'll end our Bible reading at the end of verse number 14. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, faith tested. Faith tested. We each go through many episodes in life where our faith is indeed put to the test. I was working at a house not too long ago and saw a plaque on the wall that said, Every conflict is an opportunity to prove the promises of God. The more I thought about that, I thought, wow, that's a good plaque. Every conflict is an opportunity to prove the promises of God. You keep that thought in your back pocket and you've got a good piece of advice to go with you. In this particular passage of Scripture, we have the incredible story of Abraham and Isaac. And this incredible and, I would admit, confusing commandment that God gave to Abraham to go and to offer his own son as a human sacrifice. No place else in Scripture has God ever commanded such a thing to be done. And actually, all over the Scriptures, he actually forbids the very thing from being done. But yet here, God gives the commandment, very clear, undeniable to Abraham, to go and to do this. for Abraham to offer up his son as a sacrifice. Many years before this, the Lord had come to Abraham and had called him out of that place, Ur of the Chaldees. God told Abraham to leave there and to go to another land, a place that I will show thee of. And God also made a promise to Abraham that I am going to make of you a great nation. Abraham was to be the father of a great nation. And that promise of Abraham becoming the father of a great nation really came as a great surprise both to Abraham and to Sarah, because they were both already quite old. They were both past in years. Sarah was beyond the years of childbearing. And Sarah has the very first LOL experience in all the Bible. She literally laughed out loud at the promise of God. She denied it, and the angel of the Lord said, "No, but thou didst laugh." And God had to deal with Sarah's faith, deal with Abraham's faith. "I will make you the father of a great nation. I promise you will have a seed." And in a frustrating and disobedient act, Abraham, trying to bring this promise into fruition, takes Hagar and produces a seed of his own power. And you know the story. You go home and you turn on your news, and you see to this day the ramifications of that act of disobedience. The descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac are fighting as we speak, the ramifications of that disobedience. If we search deeper in the life of Abraham, we can discover other episodes in his life where Abraham struggled with faith. I mentioned this with Hagar. You remember the time that Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt, and Abraham hatched this plan to lie. Well, it kind of was not a lie, but really substantively it was a lie, because the plan was for them to lie about their relationship. Say that you're my sister, and I'll say I'm your brother. Well, though they were married. And again, a struggle of faith. But despite these acts of disobedience, how is Abraham known to us all but as the father of the faithful? You come to the New Testament and you read a verse in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham." And that's led to that nickname that we use for Abraham, the father of the faithful. A man of faith. A man the Bible describes in Isaiah as the friend of God. And if you could take the life of Abraham on a timeline, which Pastor Kimbrough has preached to us fairly recently on the life of Abraham, you will find on this timeline of the life of Abraham, his faith is stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And as tests come, he fails, he passes, he fails, he passes, he fails, he passes. But in each of these events, faith is strengthened. His trust for the Lord, his fear of God, as the phrase is used here in the Scriptures. "Now I know that thou fearest God." It's strengthened. I hope you can look at your own walk with the Lord. If you were to put your life on a timeline, I hope you would see the same thing. Tests come. You do better sometimes than others. But in each turn of events, your faith in Christ grows more and more. This is what our sanctification is. We die daily unto sin and we live daily unto righteousness. We are becoming strengthened in the inner man. That good work that the Lord has begun in us, He has promised to continue unto the day of Christ. And our faith will be tested. If you are a child of God, your faith will be tested. So I want us to look this morning at this story from Genesis 22 under this theme and this subject, faith tested. And I want you to see, first of all, this morning that God will always test the faith of His servants. God will always do this. This is, if you will, standard operation for how God deals in the life of His servants. He brings times of testing. You look at verse number 1, And I want you to know that testing is different than temptation. But you look at number one, or verse number one of chapter 22, and in our authorized version, it says it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Well, that particular Hebrew word there, tempt, would perhaps be more literally translated to put to the test. God did put to the test Abraham. You put this in contrast with a New Testament verse in James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The word that James uses there of temptation is a temptation with the idea of to be led into sin. God cannot be led into sin, neither does he lead anybody else into sin. God's testing is not times of allurement to draw you into sin. The temptation, the word James uses there is the same word that's used for Satan tempting Christ in the wilderness. Christ was not tempted in that he fell into sin. It was a real temptation, but he did not fall into sin. The Lord never draws his people into sin, but the Lord will bring times of testing. The Lord does not tempt us, but he does test us. We test things all the time. We could talk to our brother Dane here about testing cars. You have people come and they want, does this car work? I want to give it a test drive. And so they get in and they want to drive around the block and they want to know, does this work? Will I like it? They put it to the test. We parents, we test our children. A teacher tests their students. Have you learned this discipline? Have you learned this lesson? And so here's a test. And they have to write out the answers. And if they fail the test, well, you reteach the lesson. The Lord gives us tests along the way. We'll see later something of the purpose of the tests, but the fact of the test really is undeniable. But we see it plainly here with Abraham. The test that the Lord gives really does seem to be a very strange one. The Lord was testing Abraham's faith. That was what the issue is. Look at verse 2. This is the substance of the test. This is what God commanded Abraham to do. A strange commandment, because like I said earlier, it's something that God has never commanded to be done before, and it's something that God actually condemns to be done. But this is what he tells Abraham to do. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. You take your only son, and you offer him as a sacrifice. You look at verse 3. And it seems as Abraham undeniably and unmistakably and without argumentation took this directly as a word from the Lord. That he gets up, he rises up, he gets his stuff together, and he went to the place that God had told him of. He knew this was a word from God. There was no mistaking that in Abraham's mind and in Abraham's understanding. It's a word from God. This is what God has commanded me to do. Here is the test. Imagine the thoughts that must have run through Abraham's mind that night, as we're not told in the scriptures whether or not he tossed and turned, but what would you do? What's going through his head? Abraham was commanded to offer Isaac as a human sacrifice, his only legitimate son, the one that God had said is the promised seed to bring about this other promise of you becoming a great nation. What to do? From one perspective, we could say that on the surface, this test makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't make sense for God to bring this into Abraham's life. But yet you look at your own life and you look at the trials that the Lord brings his people through. And often, from our human perspective, they don't make sense. But you see, that's not really the point, whether or not they make sense to us. The point is, will you trust the Lord in it? Will you obey God in it? But often they don't make sense. Why does God kill babies? Why do Christian parents have miscarriages? Does that make any sense? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Why did David Lee die? Why a godly man, a pastor of a church, a man who's not old enough to die yet. Why does God do this? Sometimes the tests don't make sense. But again, that's not the point. The Lord is the one who brings these. And that leads me to point two. In the test of your faith, God is looking for obedience. He's not necessarily looking for you to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and understand everything that He is doing. He's looking for obedience. So in the test of your faith, God is looking for obedience. He looks for obedience all the time, but especially in times of testing. And for Abraham, this was especially the focus. Abraham has failed before. Abraham, when it came to Ishmael, failed the test. When it came to he and Sarah in Egypt, failed the test. And here we go again. What will Abraham do? Will Abraham obey? Now, God already knew the answer to this question. The test was to be an encouragement to Abraham, not a means of God learning something that he didn't know. But when the Lord looks for obedience, I have to say, first of all, he looks for immediate obedience. You look at verse number 3. When did Abraham rise up? Early in the morning. Now, we're not told, and I grant you this, we're not told when the commandment came to Abraham, but many believe, you look at various commentaries or whatever on this passage, and many believe that the commandment came to Abraham at night. So God commanded Abraham, this is what I want you to do. And so when did Abraham begin to obey? Well, the next reasonable opportunity that he had to obey, he began obeying. He rose up early in the morning, he got his men together, he got the wood together, and off he goes. Immediate obedience. We would understand if Abraham hesitated. I would have hesitated. I would have said, but Lord, is there not some other way? Lord, is this really your will? Here, let me put this fleece out. And nothing wrong with that in its appropriate circumstances as the Lord would lead. But for Abraham, this was not a fleece opportunity. God told him to do something. It was very clear what God wanted him to do. There's no beating around the bush about it. Go do it. Immediate obedience. But could you fault Abraham for doing the same thing you or I would do? Well, Lord, Isaac? Well, what if I sacrificed Ishmael instead? Isaac? What if I sacrificed 1,000 of the best sheep that I have? Would that not do? Lord, is there not some other way? And so we would begin this sanctified arguing with God. And I don't mean that flippantly, because Abraham did this before. God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Lord, if there's 50 people there, would you spare it? Spare it for 50. Well, what about 40? And he gets down to 10. Which, if you do the math, and if you are thinking what I think Abraham was thinking, there ought to have been 10 righteous people there. And you can go and look at Lot and his wife and kids, and you come up with 10 righteous people that should have been there, but they weren't. But Abraham took it upon himself to argue with the Lord before, successfully. But this wasn't the time for that. God had told him what to do, to go do it. Not only immediate obedience, but the Lord is looking for complete obedience. This is one of the places where we as parents wrestle with our kids, is it not? We want them to obey immediately. Well, you fight that battle. Well, then you want them to do all of what you have said for them to do. You look at verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, and look at all the stuff he did. He saddled his ass, he took two of his young men, got some helpers, nothing wrong with that. He got Isaac his son, that was necessary because Isaac was a sacrifice. He got the wood for a burnt offering. He rose up and he began to go to that place the Lord told him. You look at verse 6. Abraham took of the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac his son for Isaac to carry up the mountain. And he took the fire in his hand, some torch or something, and a knife. And they both went together. So you look at the list here, you put all this together. Abraham had everything that God had commanded. He had the right wood. He had the right fire. He had the right knife. He went to the right place. And he took with him the right sacrifice. He did everything just exactly what God had said to do. Because Isaac was the one to be the sacrifice that day. I submit to you, had Abraham took Isaac and a lamb, just in case, he would have disobeyed God. That's not what God said to do. That was not the commandment. You sacrifice Isaac. And for Abraham, there were no other options. This is what God said to do. He obeyed immediately. He obeyed completely. Today, the Lord is looking in your heart not only for immediate obedience, but He's also looking for complete obedience. You think about King Saul. Did King Saul obey immediately? Yeah. I want you to go and I want you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Seems as if there's no hesitation in the fulfillment of that. He goes and he destroys most of the Amalekites. Save the king and the best of the stuff they had. But you see, that's not what God said to do. It was obedience, but it was not complete. So therefore, it was what? According to the prophet, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It was rebellion in his heart, not completely obeying. Many of us would try to do a modern-day rendition of King Saul and claim to be in obedience, though not having complete obedience, picking and choosing as if God's commandments were some kind of buffet that we could take or leave what we like or don't like. I remember one morning I was driving to church, stopped at a red light, and I look over and there's a truck with a boat behind it, pulling a boat on Sunday morning on the way to church, and the bumper sticker says, "Keep the Ten Commandments." I understand I'm not supposed to judge people, but I can't help it. I'm wondering, keep the Ten Commandments. Where's the guy taking the boat on a Sunday morning? You know, what am I supposed to think? He was too lazy to take off his hitch last night, maybe, but probably not. You know, keep the Ten Commandments. Well, what about the Fourth Commandment? You know, how often do we today do similar things? It's like telling your kid, go clean your room. And so they come back 10 minutes later, Mommy, it's clean. And you go in and you look, and my goodness, that's the best cleaning job you've ever seen in your life. Until you look under the bed. And all the stuff, you push it under the bed. Well, that's not really obedience. That's not what the command was. You see, in the test of your faith, God is looking for obedience. Immediate and complete obedience. But then we come thirdly, as we progress on in this story. The purpose of the test is not to destroy you, but to strengthen you. The purpose of the test is not to destroy you, but to strengthen you. I said earlier, you know, imagine what is going through Abraham's mind that night. Again, we have to be careful here because the Bible doesn't tell us this, but imagine the tears shed. Imagine the thoughts running through Abraham's mind. From reading the passage, it appears as if Sarah is not privy to all that is going on here. Sarah, the Bible doesn't tell us that Sarah knows or doesn't know, but from what we have in the text of Scripture, Sarah doesn't know. And so how does Abraham explain this when he gets home with Isaac's blood on his clothes? What happened? How is he going to answer these questions that inevitably are going to come from Sarah? You can imagine Abraham devastated when he initially begins to process what God has commanded in the realm of, what does this mean? But God, you said this. But God, you promised this. But you see, we're not left in the dark as to what was going through Abraham's mind. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews 11. We're not left to guess here, so we don't have to. We can guess perhaps what initially went through Abraham's mind. But when Abraham put it all together, And when Abraham trusted God, we know the conclusion that Abraham came to in what was going to happen here. And so in Hebrews 11, look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now, notice that in Hebrews, it mentions he offered up Isaac as if he actually did that. And from the perspective of God and the obedience of what God had commanded, he did it. He offered up his son. He did what God had asked him to do. When he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19 is the key. This is the conclusion that Abraham came to that fueled his faith to go and do this, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. This is what's going through Abraham's mind. This is why Abraham could pack his mule, he could pack his helpers, he could get the wood, and he could go to Mount Moriah. Because he had come to the conclusion, God is able to raise up Isaac. When we experience the tests of God, they are for the good and loving purpose of strengthening us. God was not seeking to destroy Abraham at all. When a teacher passes out to the class a math test, is she being mean? All the students say yes. But everybody with any sense knows, no, of course not. The teacher's not being mean. She wants to know, have you learned the lesson? Do you know 2 + 2? Can you answer it on a piece of paper? What is the answer to the question, to the problem, to the test? When a teacher gives a student a test, if they pass it, it's an encouragement to the student. I've learned my lesson. If the student fails the test, it helps the teacher know, you know, we need to redouble our efforts here. We need to study this more. We need to learn this better. And it's for everybody's benefit. It's not to destroy us when the Lord brings these tests. The Lord tested Job, you remember. And what did Job say? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's what Job knew. Job knew, Lord, you're doing something, and this is for my good. I'm going to come forth as gold. The Lord tested Peter. And it seems from that initial test around the campfire with the maid girl accusing him, Peter failed miserably. But no, he denied the Lord. But what did that do for Peter? That was something for Peter that was life-changing. Because just a little while later, 40 days later, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost. He's the bold leader of the disciples. And then a few days after that, he's standing before the very group of men that hatched the plan and organized the crucifixion of Christ, and he's telling them, I have to obey God rather than you. Completely changed his life, this test. That from initially it looked like a disaster, but God used it to strengthen him, not to destroy him. Not to destroy him at all. When we experience testing from the Lord, it might seem like we're going under. But that's the last thing in the world the Lord has for us. The Lord knows our frame. The psalmist tells us he knows that we are dust. He knows, the New Testament tells us, he knows what we're able to bear. And he'll make a way of escape for us. And he's also told us that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. The Lord is not out to destroy us, but he's out to strengthen us. One last thing for us to consider here this morning is that the Lord will provide the means for you to pass his test. The Lord will provide the means for you to pass his test. The Lord doesn't test his people and say, hey, dig deep. The Lord provides the means for you to pass his test. Look at verse 7 with me, please. Genesis 22:7. Isaac spake to Abraham, and he said, behold the fire and the wood, but Daddy, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went with them together. I don't want to chase a rabbit trail here. I'm not a big rabbit chaser, but just to make a little side point here, you look at the faith of Abraham in this passage, but I think there's a sermon in itself to be preached of the faith of Isaac here. Isaac was of age to outrun his dad. Isaac was of age to fight against his dad, not to be tied up as he was laying on those rocks. Isaac was of an age to get away from this. Isaac was of an age to understand what was going on. Okay, we got fire, we got wood, but I know how this sacrifice thing works, and there's no animal. What's going on? Isaac could have gotten out of this. And we're not told what Isaac knew. We're not told where Isaac's head was here. But I have to believe Isaac knew of the promise. And oh, that we would have children that would trust their parents like Isaac trusted his dad. Wow. And oh, that we had parents that were faithful in their testimony that would have children to trust us like Isaac did. Trust is earned. Isaac trusted his dad. But Abraham was obedient all the way to bringing the knife in the air. Abraham got to hear, right? And then God called out, "Abraham, Abraham." And verse 12, he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, that day, Abraham and Isaac were not alone on that mountain. God was with them. The Lord was there. In the midst, in the deepest part of the valley of testing, God was right there with them, watching it all, observing it all. Just like when the ship was in the sea and the disciples were toiling and rowing, Christ was on the mountain and he was watching them toiling and rowing. He knew everything that was going on. And at the pinnacle of Abraham's obedience, God says, "I know you fear me. You have proved it." Abraham had told Isaac, "God will provide for himself a lamb." And the Lord did the very thing. That's a great gospel truth here, obviously. We can rejoice in the gospel truth that God has provided for himself a lamb. God has provided a substitute. God has provided a substitute. A substitute so that Abraham did not have to slay his son. And so that his son did not have to be slain. A substitute was provided. And we can rejoice in that gospel truth. But what enabled Abraham to obey God in this commandment? How could Abraham do this? How could Abraham pack his bags that morning? Well, it was simply because of the promise of God. The promise of God is what fueled Abraham's faith. And this is why I say that the Lord will provide the means for you to pass his test. The promise of God was the fuel for Abraham here. It is what enabled Abraham to pass the test. It wasn't anything in Abraham. It was the promise of God that he had given. Some people have described faith as a shot in the dark. And that kind of is the worst definition that there ever was for faith, because it's not at all what faith is. Faith has nothing to do with darkness. Faith is coming out of darkness into light. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith rests upon the objective promises of God. And you see, here is what Abraham had to be processing. God promised I'd be a great nation. God promised that Isaac would be the seed to produce that great nation. Okay, so now God has said to do this. He's told me to sacrifice Isaac. What else could Abraham believe but what we are told he was thinking in Hebrews 11? God would raise him from the dead. What else could Abraham think? Isaac is the promise. He can't die, or if he does die, God's going to bring him back. That's the promise. What else was Abraham? What other conclusions was he to come to? There's some insight here into knowing the will of God. God's not going to lead you to do something that's contrary to His revealed word in Scripture. And we could wrestle, and I'm not going to go here. I'll let you wrestle with this on your own. God condemned human sacrifice. He commanded human sacrifice. But there's no argument from Abraham as to what he's supposed to do. You go wrestle with that by yourself. But we know from Scripture, God is not going to give a commandment that is contrary to His word, to His revealed will. If what you are doing is contrary to what God has said in the Bible to be done, then you're outside the will of God. I mean, it's plain and simple. But we look at Hebrews 11, and we see there that God had made, that Abraham came to this conclusion that God was also able to raise him from the dead. I say, what other perspective on this scenario, or what other conclusion should Abraham have come to? What was he doing? But basing everything he had on the promise of God. He already knew of the resurrection. We don't know if Job and Abraham knew each other. Most believe they were contemporaries anyway, living at the same time, but whether or not they knew each other, we don't know. But Job speaks of the resurrection of the body. In my flesh, I will see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Abraham understood the concept of the resurrection of the dead. These Old Testament saints knew a great deal more than often we sanctified New Testament scholars give them credit for. He knew of the resurrection. And so his faith was based on the promise of God. God will give you the means to pass His test. And the means that He provides are the Scriptures, the promises that He has made. I don't know what the test might be in your own particular, perhaps unique circumstance. But there's promises in the Bible that deal with what you're dealing with. They deal with that. And God will give you the means to pass His test. Abraham had an objective faith in what God was able to do. There's no doubt in Abraham's mind, God can raise him from the dead. When you face times of testing, what do you place your confidence in? What do I place my confidence in? If we place it in ourselves, if we lean on our own understanding, have you gotten to that in Proverbs yet? If we lean on our own understanding, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not to lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. We are to know Him. It's the Hebrew word there. Do you do the Hebrew word? To know Him. We are to know God. What about Him? His very character of who He is. He's able to lead us, guide us, and bring us through even the deepest waters of testing. You need something far greater than yourself. And the truth is, we have something far greater. In times of testing, we have the Scriptures. We have the Word of God that we can place all of our confidence in. It's a Word that is sure and steadfast. It is a more sure Word. It's better than any eyewitness account, Peter says. It's a more sure Word of prophecy. It's more to be trusted in than the human senses. And so when we're tested, we can look to the Lord, look to the Lamb of God. And Abraham indeed was right. God will provide for Himself a Lamb. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer together. Let's pray.